Today on Broadway for Tuesday, June 27th, 2017, I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanetti.
And I am Broadway Stars James Marino.
James, on yesterday's show, we told everybody the great and wonderful news that yesterday the SpongeBob SquarePants on Broadway tickets went on sale. But we failed to mention that come Monday, tickets also went on sale for Escape to Margaritaville, which will begin performances at the Marquee Theater in February. I really just wanted to mention this so I could throw in a good come Monday joke. But either way, tickets are on sale, and you have fins to the left, fins to the right. But you can now get these tickets in town. I got nothing. That's where my puns stop. But either way, tickets on sale for both SpongeBob and Escape to Margaritaville, the things that musical theater purists are most excited about for this coming theatrical season.
Oh, man, I can't. Matt, I can't record right now. Wait, hold on a second.
Okay.
I lost my shaker of salt. Where is it?
Oh, Jesus.
What?
Salt. I thought you were serious. I thought something bad happened, James. You can't do that. My heart can't take it.
I'm such an extraordinary thespian, aren't I? All right. Last week's Broadway grosses. Tell us what happened.
Well, yesterday, the grosses that were released saw a noticeable increase from the previous week, despite being down one show, the revival of Six Degrees of Separation, which closed a week ago Sunday. As a whole, Broadway rose 2.23% to come in at $35,273,883. 22 of Broadway's shows saw week-to-week increases, while the other 12 saw declines ranging from anywhere from $2,000 to $71,000. Per the Huge, Hamilton was at the top above $3,043,000. Hello, Dolly was next at $2.3 million, setting another Schubert record, but I don't know how we would have known that because they didn't send out another press release about it. The Lion King was also north of $2 million at $2,146,165. Wicked was close behind, less than $25,000 from breaking through to $2 million. They were followed in the seven-figure club by Aladdin, Great Comet, Kinky Boots, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Dear Evan Hansen, The Book of Mormon, Come From Away, Anastasia, Sunset Boulevard in its final week of performances, Phantom of the Opera, and School of Rock. Interestingly, three ALW shows round out that list. To be a completist here, Cats, which announced it would close at year's end last week, was at $757,687, which is not something to sneeze at, although considering I'm deathly allergic to cats, I probably would sneeze at it anyway. Last week, three shows saw week-to-week increases of more than $200,000. They were Kinky Boots, with Brendan Urie back in the lead role for all eight shows. Indecent, which picked up over $228,000 to come in at $606,137. Note that total is more than $101,000 more than the show did in the 2 weeks prior combined to announcing their later rescinded closing notice. We're going to come back to Indecent in a second here, James, but Sunset also closed out its extended limited run up $202,429. Waitress saw a nice rebound in Betsy Wolf's second week as Jenna. It is now back up above $822,000. And since this is a show that has recouped about 5-6 months ago, and it's produced by the Weislers, James, I have a feeling that this one might be around for a while, with eventually a rotating door of stars in some of these principal and featured roles. Because if the Weislers have taught us anything, it's that they will keep a show running for as long as humanly possible.
Rosie O'Donnell as Jenna?
Hey, man, stranger things have happened. Jerry Springer starred in Chicago on Broadway. And Heisman Trophy winner Eddie George starred in Chicago. So, you know, Rosie O'Donnell's an actual performer and a Broadway vet. So I think it would actually make a lot more sense. Unfortunately, James, I'm continuing to worry about some of this past season's new musicals. Bandstand seems to have come down from its momentary post-Tony's bump. Groundhog Day had its worst week since the first week of May, and War Paint actually had its worst week of its entire Broadway run, including previews. If I had to guess, I would think that all three of these shows are safe through Labor Day, since that's just a couple months away now, especially considering that they will likely continue to have tourists coming through the doors to keep them at least at these levels over the next few months. But come September, something is likely going to have to change if all three of these want to continue to play into 2018 and beyond. Now, James, the indecent thing, as I'm looking at these numbers, it really made me wonder, and I don't know why I didn't think about this before to ask this question. Obviously, these numbers are fantastic. Going up above $600,000 from where it was just a couple weeks ago is tremendous, and we love this. But this situation is so unusual that presumably most of last week's tickets were sold under the assumption that the show would close this past Sunday. That obviously did not happen. Now, I don't know what kind of metric she used, but obviously Daryl Roth knows what she's doing as well as anybody. But I really wonder what convinced her that staying open was worth it from a financial point of view, if that was really even the most important consideration. I guess by the time that they announced that they were changing their minds, that all of the tickets that had been sold for performances through August had been refunded, so they're kind of starting from scratch again, and they obviously hadn't started selling tickets for the extension before it was announced. So was it just faith in the show and the word of mouth and the outpouring of community support after the closing notice? Because I can't think of what other metrics would have convinced her that it was fiduciarily responsible, if that's a word, to continue going. You know, like, I mean, they're really, I mean, I'm not saying it's not, I hope that it is. I just can't imagine from a business perspective what would have told her that it would make sense other than her well-educated and well-informed and well-experienced gut.
What if the closing notice were marketing?
Well, but yeah, but you still don't know what it's going to do to sell tickets. You know, I mean, it could be that it was all just a bait and switch and a three card money game, but you don't know if it's going to sell tickets. You know, it could have, you know, turned people off. I don't know.
So, I feel as though that Indecent had tremendous support within the Broadway community, and it just needed that little boost at the Tony Awards to get it over that edge where everybody was out there. And Daryl Roth is somebody who can read the tea leaves better than anybody else. And but the thing is that what is the risk to Daryl Roth if the show is, say, $350,000 a week to run? And she says, oh, we're going to run for an additional 6 weeks. And it's $1.8 million of total cost. And certainly you're going to cover some of that cost. A loss like that is inconsequential to the Roth family.
Yeah, but she's also not the only producer listed on here. I mean, there are dozens of producers and associate producers and produced in association with. So, I mean, her and Elizabeth McCann and Cody Lassen are the three executive producers.
I have to look up something really.
It's quickly. A lot. I'm looking on IBDB. There's a lot of producers.
No. I'm not talking about that. I want to see how many performances Indecent had. How many total performances as of right now?
80 performances and 50 views.
Maybe the grand rights had not vested yet.
I don't know what that means. Explain to me, James.
So after a certain number of performances on Broadway, the rights to this play basically become an asset of the producer for 10 years or whatever the contract is. So that's how many, many plays that have lost plays and musicals that lose money on Broadway that go on to make it in national tours and licensing and things like that. So it might have been that they needed to hit a certain number because that I forget what the grand rights vesting number is. If a listener knows off the top of their head, I think it's a standard number, but might be negotiated up or down. And I would think that maybe they hadn't hit that number yet. And so it would make more sense for them once they won some Tony Awards and things like that to get grand rights on that.
So even losing some money playing an extra 6 weeks might be worth it pick up money in regional productions and things across the country over the next decade or so, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Interesting. I hadn't thought about that, and I didn't really know how that worked. I just thought as soon as it was produced that the rights, were involved with the producer. So that's interesting. That's a good idea. I hadn't thought about that.
Got to get Oliver Roth on. Explain that more coherently than
No relation to Daryl.
Yeah, he's a producer, a Broadway producer, but no relation to the venerable Roth family.
Well, and it can't hurt if people think he is, though.
Oh no, that's also a good thing. Oh, Henry Productions makes me want to have a candy bar. So the other thing I wanted to say is, Hello, Dolly, sitting in that 2.3 million range, and Can't Catch Hamilton up in that $3 million range. And you know why that is?
Well, I would guess the top ticket price, and I haven't looked at the number of seats, but I'm guessing that's too obvious of an answer, or you wouldn't be asking.
It's because Hamilton performed on the Tony Awards with a big production number, and Hello, Dolly didn't. So they don't deserve $3 million.
I'm not arguing. I'm definitely not arguing with you. One thing about Hello, Dolly, though, today's performance marks the beginning of 2 weeks of Donna Murphy only performances over at the Schubert as Bette Midler takes her pre-planned vacation. So I'm interested to see what will happen with these grosses over the next 2 weeks to see how the wonderful Donna Murphy, two-time Tony winner Donna Murphy, how her constant presence in the show impacts the bottom line.
If I had an extra couple of million dollars, I'd buy every freaking ticket and make those grosses higher than Bette, who doesn't deserve it because she shorted us on the Tony Awards. Boo,
you'll show Scott Rudin by giving him millions of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, what?
All right, let's get back to the news here.
All right. Next up, the Bucks County Playhouse announces a star-studded Guys and Dolls.
James, this is ridiculously perfect casting, and I talked about it on Twitter yesterday. I love this, and I wish that I lived back in Ohio so I could drive out to Bucks County to see this. But yesterday, Bucks County announced that their quasi-resident director, Hunter Foster, would helm a production of Guys and Dolls that would star Queen Leslie Margarita and Elena Shadow as Miss Adelaide and Sergeant Sarah Brown, respectively. The show will begin on July 21st and will run through August 12th. They will be joined by Clark Thorrell as Sky Obadiah Masterson, Stephen Rosen as good old reliable Nathan Detroit, and Darius DeHaas as Nicely Nicely Johnson. James, it seems like every time we mention Bucks County, from Clue to their Buddy Holly they did to their production of The Jerk, they just keep doing more and more incredible stuff. And I don't know that I could think of a better casting than Leslie Margarita as Miss Adelaide and Elena Shadow as Sergeant Sarah Brown.
That is awesome. And I just sent a message to my wife. We're going. We are going, going.
Good idea.
And they have really good ice cream.
That's all that really matters to you.
Ice cream and Elena Shadow? What more could I want in life?
Seriously.
All right. Next up, Mark Watch asks if Netflix should embrace Broadway. Let me try that one more time. Okay. Mark Watch asks if Netflix should embrace Broadway.
Yeah, James, there was an article on business website MarketWatch speculating that on the heels of the success from Oh Hello, that Netflix should look to invest in filming more Broadway shows. Now, James, there is a lot to digest in this idea, and I don't know that we can cover it all, but I know we kind of differ on this, so I'm going to get my point out first, and then I'm going to let you tell me why I'm wrong.
No.
No. Well, we'll see. The fact is that during this year alone, Netflix will invest $6 billion – yes, that's billion with a B – in creating original content. The reason being is that to stream movies or TV shows that they don't own, they have to have contractual agreements with the production companies, networks, and studios and all that other stuff. And as Netflix has become a bigger player in this space – networks, production companies, studios have become less likely to sign favorable deals with them, to sign long-term deals with them, or to make agreements with them at all because they are ostensibly competition. So starting with House of Cards 4 years ago, Netflix started investing, money equal to the gross national products of many countries across the globe to build up their own library so they could have control of it in perpetuity. Now, James, to me, I think it would make sense on their end to invest in preserving Broadway shows because despite the nostalgia for certain old TV shows and movies, I think that there will be a longer presumed shelf life for a stage show than most other things, especially if it's filmed with the original Broadway cast. Now, granted, I understand that the audience as a whole might still be considerably smaller than a random TV show or movie, but Netflix isn't going to be producing these Broadway shows, so their investment would be just in the filming and compensating producers and however that works out. So I know it gets hairy when you start bringing in producers and how much they want to do, especially when there's, you know, their big productions that could run for years or decades and then tour. But from a Netflix point of view, I think it's likely worth the expenditure because it's going to be a drop in the bucket of that $6 billion.
So I guess they'd have to work out the numbers here. We were talking about it earlier today, and my thoughts about it is that you have to build up a catalog. Now, think about, you know, Ted Turner and TNT years ago when he was starting his network. He needed content, and he went out and bought libraries of the old Hollywood studios and things like that to get content, and that's how we saw lots of the same movies over and over and over again. And I forget who it was. Somebody had Top Gun, and we used to see Top Gun play all summer long on an endless loop. But insofar as the Broadway stuff goes, my thought is say Netflix says, okay, we're going to spend $100 million over the next five years to record live theater and put it on Netflix directly. Are they going to get marginally enough more viewers to cover that $100 million in the 5 years based upon the Broadway catalog? I don't know if the market is big enough, especially with Broadway HD and other types of players in the market that would be competing in there. So I don't know if necessarily that's it, but you know, anything can happen in this market, and also Netflix could be the 800-pound gorilla and just say they're going to spend $100 million and not expect to make that money back just to crush the market. But we will see how this plays out.
Yeah, it's definitely a long game. I mean, I think that Netflix spending $5 billion, $6 billion over the past 4 or 5 years is not for immediate returns. This is obviously something that they are hoping will create longevity for their platform, and they hope to make money off of this. And by the fact that they have so much stuff for years and decades to come, I don't know if Broadway will increase that bottom line if they decide to make a significant expenditure in this market. But I mean, we talked to earlier this week or whenever the announcement of Present Laughter came out, that how much we love that Broadway HD is doing this. So, you know, I'm kind of torn on Netflix because Netflix obviously can get this done in a very big way. So that's awesome. But I'm also quite fond of Broadway HD, so I hope that they have success as well. So we'll see. Either way, I'm hoping that both or whichever one of them actually continues. Hopefully, obviously, I think Broadway HD is in for the long haul, but hopefully one of them is really successful at it, if not both.
So I think one of the answers here is that, and you and I didn't say this, but I'm a Netflix subscriber. Aren't you a Netflix subscriber?
I am. And Hulu and Amazon Prime.
And I wonder what the Venn diagram of Broadway fans versus Netflix subscribers are. Maybe many Broadway fans are already Netflix subscribers. And would this be a smart move for them to do? Anyway, let's move on to the next story of the day, which is Lin-Manuel Miranda launches a pound ham for all.
Yes, he does. This is that's hashtag in case anybody wasn't
well,
sure about
that.
Well,
a pound of ham is very – it's funnier than a hashtag of ham.
That's true. Very good. I didn't even think about that. But yes, yesterday Lin launched their newest Prizio contest. If you're unfamiliar, Lin in the production of Hamilton, when he was leaving the Broadway production, did a Prizeo contest. And how these things work are, if you're unfamiliar with Prizeo, they have lots of relationships with huge stars. And basically, you can bid something as small as $10 for a chance to win a great A-list prize. They did it when Lin was leaving Hamilton in New York. They did it for the opening of Hamilton in Chicago. And their next one, hashtag Ham4, the number four, all, is to receive a VIP trip, backstage passes, post-show party for the Hamilton opening in Los Angeles. All you have to do is donate $10 and you're entered in this this contest. The thing with Prizeo, though, is that it's not just making money for, you know, whatever thing is giving away the prize. It is actually a charity. And the charities that Lin's Ham for All are supporting are 12 organizations that support immigrant rights, which seems very appropriate, especially in the wake of yesterday's Supreme Court decision and obviously in the idea of what Hamilton is all about. So if you make a donation, it'll go to – the money will go to 12 different immigrant-related organizations, and then you'll be entered in a chance to win this prize. Now, that's not all, though. What Lin has done is challenged people, whether you're a star or not, to take a section of a song from Hamilton, sing it, record it, and then post it on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Use the hashtag Ham4All. Make a donation. Enter the Prizeo contest and then challenge two other people. So this has become kind of a thing online. If you've seen hashtag Ham for All on Twitter, a bunch of Broadway stars got involved. Obviously, different members of the Broadway and London cast of Hamilton got involved. Also, cast members from Come From Away on Broadway got involved. Shonda Rhimes got involved. Sara Ramirez got involved. A whole bunch of people got involved and then challenged other people. The best one, though, James, and I don't know if you've seen this, it makes my Cleveland Cavalier fan heart a little angry, but Aisha and Steph Curry is the guard from the world champion Golden State Warriors. They were in a video and they said that they were going to, they made a donation and they challenged Olivia Munn and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And for their song, Aisha Curry, who is a host and an author and an actress, she started singing the song The Skylar Sisters. And then all of a sudden, her husband, Stephen Curry, and Lin-Manuel Miranda came in to sing back up and did the whole work thing at the end. It was very funny. I hate Steph Curry because of my allegiance to the Cavs, but it was very funny. And hopefully a lot of other people do this. It's you know, there was a time there, James, when we started this podcast and we would have a story like this every day about Hamilton. That has obviously slowed down for obvious reasons. But when we start talking about these kind of charitable things with EduHam and all the different things that they do in all of the Hamilton productions around the world, it does really remind you that they are doing things far and above what a lot of other Broadway shows do, and Broadway shows in general are very charitable and philanthropic. But the way that Hamilton is doing it is very public because of how recognizable and how culturally significant that show has become. So I am very, very happy and proud of the Broadway community and impressed with Lin-Manuel Miranda and, you know, specifically about how they have used that platform to do really great works in a lot of different ways. So if you can, make a video, hashtag Ham for All, make a donation to these 12 great immigration organizations and, you know, challenge somebody else to do it.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear about Hello Dolly? They're bringing all the New York City students in to see the show.
I did not hear that. No.
No, because I made it up because they're not doing it because they're money grubbing.
Oh, jeez. James, let's not get Scott Rudin mad at us. We try to be, you know, fairly diplomatic with Mr. Rudin. Not that he has any idea who the heck we are, but, you know.
All right, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt. And subscribe to Something That Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. I'm sorry, Mr. Rudin.
$3 million seems to be done right down the block there. Right down the block, Mr. Rudin. If you only do what the other shows do, you'd get the $3 million. My name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for spending some of your Tuesday with us, and Matt and I will be back and talk to you tomorrow.